بالبلاغة. Indeed, in Nahj al-Balagha, there are so many rules for life that all of us can learn from. I've only limited it to 12 because arguably one of the most sold books in the world today is Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. As we know, Jordan Peterson is arguably one of the most famous public intellectuals in the world. And what I find interesting when looking at Jordison, whether it's online or reading his works, is that Jordan Peterson in one way wants us to return back to ancient wisdom. He wants us to be in touch with great scholars of the past and scholars of the present. And I think this is something which we need to do when we're repackaging or when we're talking about the likes of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that every human being in the world in one way or the other is a lover of their ancient wisdom, whether it's going to someone like Buddha or going to Krishna or going to some of the Greek philosophers. All of us as human beings love these personalities who've left behind the odd proverb or the odd saying. And so when we look, for example, at certain books which are sold that you could put on your coffee table, those books literally have one-line sayings which allow you to understand truth or at least seek truth and allow you to also have some sort of meaning for your life. Nahj al-Balagha, if you leave the section on the sermons and leave the section on the letters, where at times it could become very historical, go to the last section of Nahj al-Balagha and you'll see some of the most profound pieces of wisdom in the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. When I look on YouTube today, there are three figures who I see a lot of people go to when it comes to understanding life or rules for life or even understanding different types of wisdom that they could benefit from in their life. One of them is Sadhguru. You may have seen this man who has quite a long white beard, who gives a lot of wisdom when he's talking. His lectures are very influential. He allows you to return to ancient wisdom. He allows you to be in touch with your human identity. He allows you to understand the meaning of life, at least from his perspective. Then you have someone like Jay Shetty, for example. A lot of people love his discussions. A lot of people love what he has to say about the development of the human identity and the meaning of life. And without doubt, the third is Jordan Peterson. So when I look at Peterson's work over here and I see that Peterson talks about, for example, 12 rules for life, I see, for example, rule number one, stand up straight with your shoulders back. Rule number two, treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Rule number three, make friends with people who want the best for you. Rule number four, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. Rule number five, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. And this goes on until rule number 12. I don't want to give you all the rules. I don't want to ruin the book for you. But what's interesting is that Shetty, Peterson, Sadhguru, none of them are Muslims. If you actually want to look for somebody who has a lot of profound words or sayings as a Muslim, it's very hard to find this online. We either refer back to prophetic tradition, which is wonderful, or refer back to the Quran, which is wonderful. But the reality is that the majority of non-Muslims don't necessarily find wisdom when it comes to Muslims or Muslim figures. You might have the odd Instagram clip of a speaker. You might have a few moments from a lecture. But how do we reach a level where people can benefit from great Muslim figures and their understanding and their explanation of life the way they benefit from Socrates or Plato or Aristotle or even the likes of, for example, Buddha or Krishna or others who have come in human history? And I believe that this particular work, Nahj al-Balagha, doesn't give you 12 lessons for life. Peterson went on to 24. It doesn't even give you 24. It gives you hundreds of lessons for life. At the end of Nahj al-Balagha, there are some profound rules for life which I have picked. And believe you me, in my preparation for this lecture, I could have picked so many rules for life from Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salam only lived for 63 years on this earth. like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. But both of them left unbelievable lessons. And if I did not get those lessons in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, I got them through Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet is the city of knowledge. Ali is its gate. Let's go through my 12 rules for life from Nahjul Balagha. And I start with this one, which of course we have taken from the wonderful wisdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And just on a side note, before I start, there's this famous sports star who's not a Muslim. And when he met me, he absolutely fell in love with Imam Ali's sayings. If ever you want to see the best sayings, and even those of you out there, you want to make a book for a coffee table, why not talk about Imam Ali's sayings in Nahjul Balagha as the best proverbs, the best sayings, the best piece of wisdom, the best of ancient wisdom which every human being looks for when they go towards Tibet or they go all the way towards India or Africa or the Middle East. Look in this book, and I really advise you to look at the sayings of Imam Ali towards the end of the Nahj. The first rule for life, Nahjul Balagha. The first one I would go to would be saying number 10 at the end of Nahjul Balagha. What does it say? Meet people in such a manner that if you die, they should weep for you. And if you live long, then they should long for you. I will repeat this again. Live in such a way amongst the people that when you are amongst them, they crave for your company. And when you die, they weep over you. Ask yourself, are you that type of person that while you're living amongst the people, they crave for your company? And when you die, they weep over you. That should be a litmus test for you as to where you are in life. Because the best of people are the ones you crave for their company. There are certain people, literally, they are bags of positive energy. When you're around them, you feel like, you know what, this person's not arrogant towards me. This person's not just here for their maslaha, or they just want to benefit from me. This person literally is here because they want to be a positive influence in my life. There have been so many people in our lives when they've lived amongst us, you literally crave for their company. You message them, hey, are you around? Are you available? Where are you? Can I talk to you? I need some advice. You should be that person. Be that person that when you live amongst the people, you live in which way? In a way in which they crave your company. They feel that when you're amongst them, you really brighten their day. How many times do you hear people talk about the fact that, you know what, seeing you brightens my day. You're a ray of sunshine in my life. Sometimes the worst people are the ones who are negative all the time. Don't be one of those who's always negative and complaining. Count your blessings. Sometimes God has given us a lot more than what has been taken away from us. And I do believe that if we become auditors for the accounts of our life, rather than just our businesses, we'll actually see there's a lot more to be grateful for. So Imam Ali says, rule number one, when it comes to living a good life is what? The first rule for life is that live in a way where when you are alive, people crave your company. But when you die, they weep over you. That's also a wonderful level. That when you die, have you reached a level where people really mourn your loss? There are some people that you'll see that when they die, there's hardly anyone turned up to their funeral. Don't be someone like that. Be someone who people remember the charity they used to give. And it doesn't have to be public all the time. Be someone who's helped others. Be someone who, when they've seen people in trouble, they were the first to come to their call. Those people are the ones who people weep over at their funerals. The ones who are hospitable, the ones who are smiling, the ones who are always telling you, listen, if you want, come with us if we're going out. They reach out to help if you're in trouble in a business or you have a certain debt. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's first rule for life in Nahjul Balagha, live in a way that when you are alive, people crave for your company. And when you die, they weep over you. And it's wonderful how Imam Ali finds weeping over somebody as something meritorious. It's not something negative. I sometimes may have lost someone in my life. That person, they may have gone on to a better place, but their company is what I crave. I miss them being around. I miss their energy. And there's no harm in a person weeping over such a personality. Lesson number one, live in a way that when you're alive, people crave for your company. And when you die, the people weep over you. Lesson number two, rule number two for life, according to Imam Ali in Nahjul Balagha, saying number 12. The most helpless of all men is he who could not find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him. Believe you me, surely in your life, you must be able to find a few good friends. You can't be somebody who is so private and sometimes wants to seclude themselves from the whole of society, because you can fall in that trap. That trap where everybody is bad, you only think of the negatives of everybody, the community are all bad, and what you end up doing is painting everybody with the same brush. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is to generalize everybody. Sometimes we have generalizations on different levels. There are those who generalize, for example, a family. If one member of a family is bad, they want to cut relations with the whole family. No, you can't generalize on the whole family. There might have been someone who, as they sometimes say, may have been misguided or astray or has a certain temperament. But to paint everybody in the family with the same brush is wrong. You can't break away from every family member because of the actions of one family member. Likewise in the community. And when Imam Ali's second lesson saying the most helpless of men is he who could not find a few brothers during his life. Surely in your community, you can't tell me the whole community is bad. There are some people in our community, you may have been at the end of the, you know, worst treatment from them. I do not deny. You may find some around you who are troublemakers, but don't generalize on the whole community. Surely there are a few in your life who are the best of the community, who you could get on with, who you could talk to. Sometimes, look, when you have a friend in the community, it may be that your friendship is about how patient you could be with their negatives. It's not just about thinking of their positives. There's no perfect person who you're ever going to have as a friend. But you can't be telling me that you do not have at least a few in your life. Never reach a level where you seclude yourself from the whole of society. That is unhealthy. We are social animals. And yes, sometimes in our life, there are people who have mistreated us, but that shouldn't mean that I reach a stage where there aren't a few in my life, because then the problem in reality when I point fingers is that there's two always pointing back at me. Maybe I'm the problem why people don't want to come near me. So instead of complaining about everybody, think about yourself. But there's a twist in this second rule for life. But still more helpless than the one who doesn't have a few brothers is the one who finds such a brother but loses him. In our lives, sometimes we found gems, but we lost them. Our behavior, our lack of communication, our impatience, our rudeness, our insecurities, our arrogance meant that we had a gem in our life and we lost that gem. I want you to all reflect at home on the second rule of life according to Nahj al-Balagha. That you out there, you're helpless if you don't have a few brothers in life, but more helpless is when you had a good brother and you lost them. It could work in two ways, by the way. It could literally be your own sibling, or it could be someone who was a friend of yours for many years. I remember once watching the biography of one of the most famous managers in British football. His name was Brian Clough. And Brian Clough won things which managers today have not won, including the European Cup. He won the European Cup twice for Nottingham Forest. But he had an assistant, and this assistant manager of his, this person who was alongside him through every victory, they ended up falling in a foul relationship with one another. They ended up breaking up. They ended up breaking apart. They fell apart. Their relationship fell apart. And one of the regrets that you could see in the life of Brian Clough is that he had somebody in his life who was a gem. And because of one difference that they had with one another, they ended up not speaking to each other as the friends they were. They even mention that the likes of, for example, actors in Hollywood, such as Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, who were friends for many years, they did not speak to each other for over 20 years. Why? Life is too short. When I bring these examples, why am I bringing them? Because it's one thing not having at least a few good brethren in life or a few good sisters in life, but it's another when you have a good one and you've lost them. In this holy month of Ramadan, from the second rule of life for life for, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the second piece of advice is what? Is that try in this holy month to maybe reach out to somebody you've not reached out to for a long time. try maybe to open up at least a relationship of smiles and friendship. At least try and rekindle, or at least just forgive one another. So the second rule for life, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most helpless of all men is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life, but still more helpless is he who finds such a brother, but loses him. The third rule for life, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, is what? When you get only small favors, do not push them away through lack of gratefulness. When you get small favors in your life, don't push them away through a lack of gratefulness. Sometimes we have certain people who do us small favors, but we're not grateful to them. We've taken them for granted. What we don't realize is that there'll be a day where those people won't be around anymore. And Imam Ali's third rule for life is wonderful. That when you get small favors, don't push them away through a lack of gratefulness. Sometimes if someone does a massive favor for us, then you'll see us, oh, I'm so indebted to you, you're amazing, you're the best. And then there are those who do us 100 small favors and we just take them for granted. We don't even, for example, send them a gift for the favor that they've done for us. If someone done me a massive favor in my life that resulted in me making a lot of money or me being able to buy something like a property, I'll never forget that person. But those people who do small favors for us, where they sometimes go and pick up our kids when we can't make it. They sometimes are there on a wet, windy night to come and talk to us on the phone when nobody else is going to be there. Or sometimes they're going to help us in the mosque. Or sometimes they're going to help when we've just moved to a new country. Or sometimes they're just going to help by, for example, being there and saying, listen, our house is there for you if you are ever in need of recording something or of filming something or making a gathering. Those are many small favors. But those small favors, don't push them away by a lack of gratefulness. Gratefulness is what? Sometimes just a thank you message, a text message, where you just thank somebody and you're like, I really appreciate what you did today. And what did they do? They might have, for example, picked up something for you on their way home. They haven't completed for you a multi-million dollar business deal. They haven't, for example, sorted something out for you where you get amazing commission. They haven't, for example, allowed your name to rise high in the skies for everybody to know you. They've done you small favors. The third rule for life is when someone does you small favors, don't push them away through a lack of gratefulness. Sometimes even think about God over here. There are many small things we take for granted and we don't do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He's given us. Some take for granted the fact that they have kids and they forget that there are others who cannot have kids. Some take for granted that they have shelter and they forget that there are others who have no roof on top of their head. Some take for granted that they can break their iftar, their fast with iftar, while there are others in the world who can never dream of the amount of meat or chicken that's on their dinner table. Why would the Quran always stress, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ? The more you are grateful, the more I'll give you. The third rule for life is that do not take for granted small favors that come in your way. I actually believe that when I've studied the ancient traditions of the Prophet Muhammad and his household, peace be upon them, that if you want a blessing to remain in your life, always say shukran lillah and always say alhamdulillah. Because sometimes those small favors, your lack of gratefulness for them from God could result in you pushing God away from your life. And the worst thing that could ever happen to you is God being pushed away from your life. The fourth rule for life, according to Nahj al-Balagha, and the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is what? Here is the fourth rule. Even if I strike the nose of a believer with my sword for hating me, he will not hate me. And even if I pile all the wealth of the world before a hypocrite Muslim for loving me, he will not love me. This is because it is a verdict pronounced by the tongue of the revered Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, when he said, O Ali, a believer will never hate you and a hypocrite will never love you. Why is this a rule for life? Some non-Muslims who might be listening will be thinking, I'm not understanding. Why would this be a rule for life? The rule for life here is, you cannot please everyone. If Imam Ali alayhi salam could not please everyone around him, then we've got little chance of pleasing everyone around us. Look how the Imam explains this rule for life. He says, if I strike the nose of a believer, a mu'min of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, for hating me, they will never hate me. But if I pile all the wealth of the world before a Muslim hypocrite, for them to love me, they will never love me. Believe you me, in our life, sometimes we're too concerned about pleasing the whole world. You can never achieve it. You all know the story of Luqman and his son. Luqman and his son were riding the donkey, and they were walking as well. Luqman had taught his son about the fact that you can't please everybody. When, for example, the two of them were walking and there was a donkey alongside them, someone walked past and said, how stupid these two are. They have a donkey there and they're walking. When they were on the donkey, someone walked past and said that, look at the poor donkey. These two are putting such a heavy load on that donkey. We can never please everybody in this world. Imam Ali alayhi salam, how magnanimous, noble, dignified, honorable, a man of ethics, a man of humility, a man of patience, a man of forbearance, a man of such a soft heart, a man of such a warm heart, and he couldn't please everybody around him. That there were people, whatever Imam Ali alayhi salam did, they still hated him. Take that as a lesson for you in life. There are some people, it doesn't matter what you do, they will still always hate you. But your ultimate litmus test is that you get the pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of the people. If we relied on the pleasure of the people, then you've not understand this rule for life. This rule for life is saying to us that do not think about the pleasure of the people, even if you gave the treasures of the wealth of this world. Believe you me, even if you show the best akhlaq to someone who hates you, it will not change how much they hate you. I've seen it in my own career. There are some people in my own career, it doesn't matter how many lectures I give on how many topics I speak about, they can never, ever have a good feeling about me. Now, in this moment, what do I do? Do I think about those people? Or do I wonder, Allah has a good opinion of me? Am I ready to meet my Lord? Am I ready with what I've carried forth? Is my intention sincere? Then those who hate, they can go to do their own business. Imam Ali alayhi salam, if the whole world could not love him, then there's little chance that the whole world will love us. You chasing people for them to love you, I wouldn't waste my time. Chase that which pleases the Lord. Imam Ali says, I could give all the wealth of the world to my hater, and they still will not like me. And I can strike my lover on the nose with my sword, and they'll still look towards me and they'll smile. Therefore, rule number 4 in Nahj al-Balagha, stop trying to please everybody. It's not going to happen. And even if everybody is pleased with somebody, that means that person has no principles. They're a fence sitter. They've never had a stand on any subject, and they will be with those who are oppressed and the oppressor. Let's go to rule number 5. What's rule number 5? The sin that displeases you is better in the view of God than the virtue which makes you proud. Rule number 5. If there's a sin, and we're all sinners, the person sitting here is a sinner. Those who, for example, may be watching amongst you, we've all committed a sin one way or the other. We're not infallible. 5th rule for life. The sin that displeases you is greater than the virtue that makes you proud. How wonderful Imam Ali. Which Jay Shetty, which Jordan Peterson, which Sadhguru? Baba Ali ibn Abi Talib. We're talking a different world altogether. There are some of us that we have committed sins, but we feel guilty about them. Half of repentance is regret. Never forget that. Half of repentance, and repentance is the religious connotation of returning back to the path of God, what in Arabic we refer to as tawab and awab, a return back to. Half of repentance is regret. There are many out there who have committed a sin. There are some of you who may be watching whose sin still lives with you. Imam Ali says, the sin that displeases you is greater than the virtue that makes you proud. When a person commits a good deed but makes them proud, you see who I am? I'm the one who built this mosque. What have you done? I am the one who, for example, donated. What have you done? I am the one who prays. You don't pray. I'm the one who wears hijab. You don't wear hijab. That virtue which makes you arrogant, Imam says, the sin that displeases you is better in the view of Allah than that virtue which makes you proud, because now you fall in the realm of Iblis and the satanic connotation of a person being arrogant religiously. And the most disgusting people are those who are religious and arrogant with their religion, arrogant with their religiosity. Sometimes people are pushed away from the mosques and the churches and the synagogues and the gurdwaras and the temples because of the arrogant religious. Imam Ali mentions this. The sin that displeases you is great, is better in the eyes of Allah than the virtue that makes you what? That makes you proud. Rule number 5 for life. Rule number 6 for life, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. Generosity is that which is by one's own initiative, because giving on being asked is either out of self-respect or to avoid rebuke. Unbelievable definition of generosity that only Imam Ali alayhi salam could give, for he is the student of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon his family, who is the student of the heavens. Listen to this ancient wisdom. Believe you me, if I put Buddha's name next to this quote, or I put the name of Krishna, or I put the name of Aristotle, or I put the name of Jordan Peterson, or I put the name of Jay Shetty or Sadhguru, the world will be going crazy. But this is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Generosity is that which is by one's own initiative. Giving on being asked is a different story. There are some who come and say, listen, if there's any projects you have, if there's anything you want to do, I'm ready to give. There are some you have to go and beg them and humiliate yourself and go and sit and tell them, please, I beg you. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, listen, when that second person gives you something, that's not generosity. Generosity is by one's own initiative. When a person by their own initiative turns around to you and says, what are your projects that are you doing? What are the work that you're doing? What can we help fund? That's generosity. Generosity isn't a person having to reach out and ask all the time. Imam Ali turns around and says, generosity is that by which one's own initiative. Because giving on being asked is either out of self-respect, you give and you're like, okay, you know what, I am quite rich, so I should give something. Or out of rebuke. If I don't give, then you know what's going to look bad on me. The true generous person, rule number 6 for life, is that a person who gives without there needing to be a campaign to wake them up to give, or adverts to wake them up to give. Rule number 7 for life, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, contentment is wealth that does not diminish. There is no wealth like contentment. You summarized life, O Imam Ali alayhi salam. A wonderful rule for life. There is no contentment like wealth. There are many out there, wallah, they've got all the money in the world. And they beg God, please, my son's not religious. Their wealth cannot make their son put their forehead on the prayer mat. There are many in the world who come home into the nicest house, but the emptiest house with no soul. There are many in the world who have to go to psychiatrists and psychologists because they're in great jobs, but they have no family for them to share that job with. Contentment is the greatest wealth. To be content, ask yourself, are you content? I am. I have in my life the greatest wealth. I have number 1, God. Number 2, Ahlul Bayt. I have number 3, family. Number 4, I have my friends. Number 5, what else do I want? I have Liverpool Football Club as well. When I have all of these in my life, I'm content. You take my money away from me. As long as I have number 6, my health, then I am content in life. How many have money, but when the pancreatic cancer came and affected them, no technology could save them? The 7th rule for life is what? Contentment is wealth that does not diminish. What a wonderful wealth to have. Rule number 8, Imam Ali alayhi salam. What is it? Rule number 8, do not feel ashamed for giving little, because refusal is smaller and worse than that. Sometimes when someone tells you, give me something, Don't refuse. Even if you can try and give, there is somebody I met in my life, that person never, ever, ever is ashamed because they always will give little. They'll never refuse. There are so many poor, so many orphans, so many destitute. Don't tell me you can't give little. Sometimes, mind you, the richest are the stingiest. Put that. There are some who are rich who are very generous. There are some who are rich who are deadly stingy. There are some who are rich who are old money. There are some who are rich who are new money. There are some who are rich who are classy. There are some who are rich who have no class. There are some who are rich who give for God. There are some who are rich who clean their sins through giving. Therefore, all of those I address with this rule 8 for life from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Do not feel ashamed for giving little, because refusal is smaller than that. Give little, but don't refuse someone when they've come towards you. Wallah, even 50p, £1, even if you could give £10, £1,000, £100, whatever you can give, don't refuse. Rule number 9 for Imam Ali alayhi salam: as intelligence increases, speech decreases. I think I'm going to be quiet for a few seconds to show that I'm quite intelligent, because I do talk quite a bit. But the reality of this rule for life: intelligence increases, speech decreases. Meaning what? Meaning the amount of wisdom that you've gained in life, you've realized, let me not put my foot into everything with my mouth. How many times we've opened our mouth and ruined a reputation? How many times have we opened our mouth and been proved wrong? How many times have we opened our mouth and our judgment turned out to be the worst judgment? As intelligence, wisdom, insight, rationality, reason, the mind, as all of this increases, then what decreases? Our speech. A person who speaks a lot on everything, you'll see that that person, the intelligence is not the greatest. Rule number 10 for life. What is it? A wise saying is the lost article of the believer. Therefore, get wisdom even from the people of hypocrisy. Wisdom is the lost treasure of the believer, which is rule number 10. For life from Imam Ali alayhi salam: wisdom is the lost treasure of a believer. I don't care if you're Buddhist, Hindu, Sikh, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, atheist. If there is a piece of wisdom I can gain from a thinker like Maimonides, like Augustine, like Tertullian, like, for example, the likes of Aquinas, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, Buddha, Krishna, all of these, Luther King, Mandela, if I can gain from Gandhi, I can gain from people of proverbs and wisdom. Wisdom is the lost treasure of the believer, rule 10 for life. Don't say wisdom is only in your school or your heritage. There are many humans whose life lessons are the best for us to gain wisdom from. Rule number 11 for life: whoever abandons saying, I do not know, meets his destruction. Please make sure that if you don't know about a subject, just say, I don't know. I've seen people in my home country, Iraq, when they ask them a question, the guy just can't say, I don't know. For the love of God, wisdom is to say, I don't know. One of the rules for life is to say, I don't know. Otherwise, people will take the mick of you with a YouTube or WhatsApp video, and the rest of your life is destroyed. When someone asks you, what is the meaning of apple? Do not start giving a philosophy lecture when you don't know what the meaning of apple is. Likewise there, the 11th rule for life is what, according to Imam Ali: whoever abandons the saying, I do not know, will meet their destruction. If there's an area in Islam that we don't know about, put your hand up and say, this is not my expertise. I do not know. This is not my area. I once went to a marja. I asked him a question about history. He said, Ammar, it's not my area. Ask me about jurisprudence, but history is not my area. When a grand scholar can say to me, I do not know, then that is a great rule for life. Whoever abandons I do not know will meet their destruction. Lesson number 12, rule number 12 for life from Imam Ali alayhi salam is what? And this I will conclude with: whoever loves us, the members of the household of the Prophet, should be prepared to face destitution. This is a wonderful rule for life. It's very much related to the lovers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. A rule for life for all of you at home. Whoever loves us, The members of the household of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, should be prepared to face destitution. Because without a doubt, this world, many of us who have loved this family and loved the Prophet of this family, peace be upon him, have been kicked out of our houses, have been made to leave our homes, have seen family members who have become martyrs, have been ridiculed wherever we've gone, have seen many who've lost lives, many who've been executed. Many of us have held on to the message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and have seen that we've been tortured because of it. Many of us have seen different places where our children had to grow up in environments far away from their homes simply because we were the lovers of Muhammad and al-Muhammad. The 12th rule for life from Nahj al-Balagha, my dear brothers and sisters, is that whoever loves us, the members of the household of the Prophet, should be prepared to face destitution. In some cases, it could have another meaning, and that is that sometimes whoever loves us, it may be a case that they may have to even sacrifice from certain worldly affairs and luxuries. Poverty may come their way because of their love for us and them holding back from entering certain things that are forbidden because they were forbidden by the holy household. In one way, we may face destitution and poverty because of our identity. In another way, it could be because we're following the exemplars of Muhammad and al-Muhammad. 12 rules for life. Peterson offered his 12. I think it's worth learning Imam Ali's 12. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.